Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our service at Emmanuel this morning, whether you are here in person or listening to the service over the internet in a few days' time. And let's remember, as always, anyone who is visiting here, you are most welcome, and we remember that we are members of the Old Town Partnership of Churches, and that worship is going on in Christchurch and Bath Road as we meet here, as well as at Highworth, where Robert, our minister, is taking the service. Very pleased to welcome Adrian German, who is taking our service this morning. I've been instructed not to tell you anything about him because he's going to introduce himself. The Bible reading will be by Jenny Powley, and I certainly don't plan to say anything about her. She can introduce herself. I'm not aware of anything else I need to announce, which is most unusual. Nobody seems to be disagreeing with that. So I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle, which will give us a few moments to reflect before we begin worship. One other notice I did forget is that if you wish to have your Bible, your pew Bibles, ready for Jenny's reading, you will find it on page 58 of the New Testament. There is, of course, tea and coffee after the service. Many apologies, Jeff.
My name is Adrian German. I have been going to church for almost 70 years. I've been a member of the church for 53. I've been a disciple of Jesus for 51. And a preacher for nearly 50. I've lived in Royal Wootton Bassett for 40 years, but was born in Bolton in Lancashire, which explains my accent. And I still go up there once a fortnight to watch the greatest team the world has ever seen. I was employed by Nationwide. This is really important that you remember this, okay? Because it will be referred to later on. I was employed by Nationwide for 40 years until November 2016. I am currently based in the Methodist Church in Royal Wootton-Bassett, and I was an elder in a Methodist URC church when most of you were quite young. Long, long time ago. And it's a real privilege to be with you here this morning. So, I would say, if you need to sit when other people are standing, please feel free to do that. You won't offend anybody, least of all God. Or simply stand when others are sitting, because sometimes that's really hard for people, you know? So, the one thing I would say is, if you need prayer this morning, please, please, please do not leave this building without asking somebody to pray with you. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the one church, and we are to encourage one another in our walk with Jesus. So if you need prayer, ask somebody. You know, if I'm out there and you need somebody to pray with you, I will pray with you. So, some verses from, I was going to say a wonderful psalm, but actually, I think all the psalms are wonderful. But some verses from Psalm 19. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word, and their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone out throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even finest gold. They're a warning to your servant, but a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. And then I'll be free of guilt, innocent of my great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we sing praise together. Number 34. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Father, loving Father, we come into your house this morning to worship you for no other reason than to come as your children. So help us to come with a spirit of humble adoration. Help us to come with a spirit of yearning to meet with our Creator. Help us to come with a spirit of wanting to acknowledge you as Creator of the whole universe. And so as we come in humility, we remember, as the psalmist said, that we have faults, faults that we're not proud of, things that we have vowed we will change, and yet we fail you yet again. Father, we look at Peter and we are encouraged that he continually failed you, and yet you used him to bring the news into the world, to spread the news, to spread the good news. And so, Father, this morning we want to lay before you those things which separate us from you, those sins, those faults, those wrongdoings. There may be something that we've hung on to for decades that we've never said sorry for. Father, in this moment, we offer you our sins. Father, thank you that because of Jesus, we are forgiven. And as Jesus taught his friends, let us say together, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against
us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we sing together, Come Down, O Love Divine, 294.
Thank you.
And now we worship God in our giving. Father, we remember the little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus took it, and he gave thanks, and it fed more than 5,000 people. Father, we pray that you would take this money and all that we offer, whether it's time, talents, or whatever it might be, and use it to your glory and your honour. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And we say it together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore.
Amen. Are going to sing, O Thou, the Central Orb of Righteous Love, with words written by priest and poet H.R. Bramley and set to music by Charles Wood.
Thank you.
We're going to have our prayers of intercession, and then we're going to go straight into Spirit of the Living God, which is 308/309. So if you want to find that now, and then we're not kind of rustling around, so we'll go straight from the prayers into Spirit of the Living God, and we'll stay seated, and then I'm going to say another prayer after that. Okay, so intercessory prayers then, straight into, I'm not going to announce it, straight into Spirit of the Living God. Let's pray. Everlasting God, at the end of the week of prayer for Christian unity, help us to listen to your voice calling to us for unity throughout the one church. We pray for church leaders throughout the world that they may work together to promote unity amongst Jesus' disciples, whatever denomination or non-denomination we might be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, as our gospel shows us the preaching of Christ, we pray for all who preach your word week by week throughout the world. Inspire us in that ministry and help us to lead and grow people as disciples, that they might reach out to those in their community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you spoke and every land and nation and race was made. You spoke your word and revealed your good news in Jesus Christ. We pray for our troubled world, and especially for our leaders. We pray for those who are caught up in war and violence, especially the innocent victims of evil and destructive acts of terrorism. We pray that your peace may be found and that good sense may flourish and that we may see injustice and wrong vanquished. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, although we're sometimes separated by language and culture from people that we live amongst, we long to see your will done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for our neighbours, not just with the words of our lips, but by our actions day by day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Abundant God, be with those of us who desire and need your restoration and healing, as we remember the way your Son Jesus Christ cast out demons. We remember today all who live in the depths of despair, depression, anxiety, mental illness. We ask for your blessing and healing touch, and we pray that you would flood their lives with your glory, with the light of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, your love for us continues beyond the grave. So may those who have gone before us rest in your eternal peace. We remember those who have died, and we pray for those who are bereaved, especially the families of Terry Pidgeon and Myra Hartshorn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for ourselves that when we go from this place to start a new week, we ask that in all that we do, we walk more closely with you, safe in the knowledge that your fatherly love and care knows no bounds. So, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we're going to hear words which may be very familiar to us. So this morning, would you clear our minds of the clutter so that we can truly focus on what your Holy Spirit inspired the writer to write down so that we might truly hear what you want us to hear this morning. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
The reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take those words and move them from our minds to our hearts, that they'll be words that are not just academic, not just words written in a book, but words that we live by. And so I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would inspire me now as I speak, to speak only that which accords with your will. I ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. So, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee, depending on which translation you read, in the power, by the power, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. The key thing there is the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who was 100% man, 100% God, did what he did in and through the Holy Spirit. I was handed this week, and I think you probably have some in the porch, but it's the Partnership Bible Verse 2025. And it is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It said, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Or in a different translation, "The true children of God are those who are led by God's Spirit." There is no doubt how we should live our lives as disciples of Jesus, led by the Spirit. Verse 17, "The book of Isaiah the prophet was given to him. He opened the book and found the place where it is written." Do you know, it's not that long since Christmas. It might feel like it, but it's not. It's less than a month. Well, actually a month and a day, I suppose. But throughout the Advent season, throughout the Christmas season, we hear the prophecies that are told about Jesus. And this prophecy was made by Isaiah some 700 years before Jesus said, "This is now true." And you think, 700 years. You know, sometimes we put plans together and if they haven't happened within 5 minutes, we're all kind of upset. This is 700 years before this prophecy of Isaiah comes true. Verse 18, "The Lord has put his Spirit in me because he has appointed me." I think it's probably with a little bit of shame I tell you this. That happened 2 weeks ago. My wife worships at a church sort of that way, and it's called Gateway. I don't know if you've heard of it. Big church, about 400 people. And so occasionally I go and worship with her, because it's nice to worship with one's spouse, you know. And there I was, and we started off with six songs, of which I knew one. And that's, it's really important that you know that, because my excuse, I'm kind of defending myself here. So I'm standing there in the third song that I don't know. And God says to me, that man there in front of you, two rows in front, he needs your help. And I'm like, well, he doesn't look like he needs any help. There was no visible sign that he needed help. He said, he needs your help. I said, actually, Lord, I'm not sure you realise this, but this isn't my church. That man needs your help. There's 400 people in this place. Why am I the one who has to go and help him? He needs your help. And then the band struck up the fourth song. And I'm like, oh, I know this one. You expect me to go and help him now when we've had three songs I didn't know, and this is the fourth one. I can actually sing this one. That man needs your help. In the words of Jesus, the Lord put his spirit in me because he appointed me to help that man in his point of anxiety. You know? So I took him outside into the porch and prayed with him there and then. And it was really important because of what happened later on in the service that he was in the place I left him, not in the place he was. So it's through God's Spirit that we should act. Back in 1985, my wife said to me, I was trying to find a different job. My wife said to me, supposing God wants you to stay with Nationwide. I said, he doesn't. Wives are really good, aren't they? She said, but just supposing he does. I said, he doesn't. She said, have you asked him? Well, of course I've not asked him. You know, if I ask him, he might give me the wrong answer. So I asked him. And as you heard earlier, I was with Nationwide for 40 years. And I came to what is now Royal Wootton Bassett. I discovered only a few years ago, I came in response to prayers of a group of ladies in the church I now belong to. And it was, ever since that came to mind, that's about 3 weeks ago when I started writing this sermon, I've been trying to work out how it happened. And I was trying to explain it to somebody who works for Nationwide yesterday. And I was trying to explain, and I could not explain how it happened. I do not know physically how God made it happen, but he did. You know, when I think about it, when I analyse it, what God did was, and I'm not, please, I am being deadly serious, it was greater than the crossing of the Red Sea. It was impossible what God did to bring me here. It's a long story, but it just was not possible. But in all things, God is able to make all grace abound in us, so that having sufficiency in all things at all times, we may abound in him. That is from the second letter to the Corinthians. And what was Jesus doing? He was, quote, to tell the good news to the poor. It was only when I started looking at this in detail that I discovered that in the Greek, the word good news normally is a plural. So the term good news in the Greek was used for things like an emperor having been ill and recovered, or a battle won, or whatever it might be. But when the term good news is used in the New Testament, it's in the singular. Not the plural. Because there is lots of good news, you know? Somebody's just had a grandson or a granddaughter born. Good news. But this is in the singular because it is the good news. There is no greater good news than this. What good news? Christ died for our sins. Really important, this half verse. Just as the scriptures said, he was buried and raised from the dead on the third day. Just as the scriptures said. Good news. So Jesus says, right at the beginning of his ministry is to tell people about the good news. And you know, that is our ministry. Each and every one of us. Somebody said that to me only yesterday. He said, well, that's the job of all of us, he said to me. I said, well, yeah, I know. I got an email this week from my old school. And it said, do you have any good news? Share it with us. You know? It's a human nature thing to do. You know, when we have the birth of a child, a grandchild or whatever, we want to tell people. If we've been somewhere on holiday and we've seen the Northern Lights, or not that I have, but, you know, if I'd been to see the Northern Lights, I'd be telling you, do you know, I've just come back from Norway or wherever, and the Northern Lights are wonderful. It's a natural thing for us to do, is to tell people good news. And that's what Jesus said we are to do. And I can't... Is Edith here this morning? Edith. Oh, there you are, hiding. Oh, in the choir. Oh, there you are, yes. I said to Edith a few months ago in that porch there, I said, the thing is, we don't talk about the church. We talk about Jesus. Because Jesus is the good news. And that is what our primary role is. Good news to the poor. And those people who... 700 years have gone since Isaiah said that. Isaiah said, at some point in the future, somebody will come... And so they can forget about that. Good news is for the poor. And for 700 years they've forgotten about that. Now Jesus turns up and he reminds them good news is for the poor. Whoa, hang on a minute. Sorry, I'm not sure we can quite buy into this. Because you see, 2,000 years ago, somebody who was rich, they thought was being blessed by God. You know, they're such a good person, God has blessed them and made them rich. And Jesus comes along and says, the good news is for the poor. Ooh, it's a bit offensive, that, you know. And he goes on and he says, he sent me to tell them, the captives, that they are free. You know, when I was a boy, sitting in church, listening to this particular account, I kind of thought, did that mean that Jesus went round to all the prisons and let everybody out? Because that's what I thought it meant. But that's not what Jesus was saying. What Jesus was saying is that we are sinners, number one. Number two, we are held captive by that sin. Number three, he is the way that we can be freed from that sin, whatever we've done. You know, a few weeks ago I was in a church and this guy said to me afterwards, he said, you know, he said, I like you. It doesn't happen very often. He said, I like you. He said, you know, you remind me of me. And then I said, whoa, hang on a minute. I said, whoa, you met Jesus in a prison cell. What do you mean you're likening me to you? And then I realised that actually I was no different from him. We're all held captive by sin. Whether we're in prison or not, it's irrelevant. But Jesus came to free all of us, anybody who wants, from their sin. And, verse 18, to tell the blind that they can see. And there are 8 occurrences in the New Testament where Jesus heals people physically from their blindness. He doesn't do it, you know, miracles do not always happen, you know. The blind do not always see because it's not necessarily part of God's will. But Jesus restores the physical sight sometimes, and sometimes he restores the spiritual blindness. And in the case of Paul, or Saul, he restored both. You know, Paul was able to see after the Damascus Road physically, and on the Damascus Road he met Jesus. Verse 18, God sent me to set free those who are oppressed and brokenhearted. This perhaps is the most relevant for our society today. Because we hear that mental health, especially amongst men, is really bad, and lots of men commit suicide, you know. You may know somebody. And so this idea of setting free those who are oppressed and brokenhearted, who have no hope, who are in the pit of despair, this is really important. Somebody came up to me and said, "You're religious, aren't you?" And for once in my life, I didn't retort in the usual manner. I said, "Yes." She said, "Can I tell you a story of what happened to me over the weekend?" She said, "I've never been to church. I've never been to Sunday school." She said, "And I was on the point of killing myself." And she said, "And then I remembered something I'd heard at school about this guy called Jesus. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to say the name Jesus before I kill myself." And she said, all of a sudden, the darkness was gone. And all was light. Jesus brings light into the darkness. That happened within the last 10 years, that story. That story is true, you know. And those who are in the pit of darkness, depression, anxiety, what they need is Jesus and the light that Jesus brings. And if we know people like that, we need to pray for those people. I do. Pray that the light of Christ will shine in their lives. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's a reference to the Jubilee, which happened every 7 years at that time. Every 7 years, the slaves were set free, and the land was returned to its original owners. Jesus was saying, right here, right now, in this time, those in bondage can be set free. And you know, I think our society really needs to hear this message. They need to know that they matter, that they are important to somebody, and that whatever they've done, they could be a prodigal, you know. And what does our Heavenly Father do to the prodigals? He opens his arms and he welcomes all. That is the message Jesus brought. I want to leave you with some verses from Titus chapter 3. And then after this, we'll just have a time of quiet. And in that time, we'll ask God, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to change in my life? What do you want me to do differently? So this is Paul writing to Titus, and he says this. There was a time when we too were foolish, rebellious, deceived. We were slaves to our sensual cravings and pleasures. And we spent our lives being spiteful, envious, hated by many, hating one another. But then something happened. God, our Saviour, and his empowering love and kindness for humankind entered our world. He came to save us. It's not that we earned that by righteous deeds or good works. He came to be merciful. He brought us out of our old ways to a new life through washing, through regeneration. He made us completely new through the Holy Spirit who was poured out in abundance through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So that through his grace, we would be accepted into God's covenant family and appointed to be his heirs, full of the hope that comes from knowing that we have eternal life. Let's come before God in a moment of silence. Father, help us day by day to change, to become more like Jesus, to be Jesus to those around us. Whether we need to smile at somebody, say hello to somebody, put our hand out to somebody, or whatever it might be, help us to be your disciples in your world. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. So we sing 433, O Thou Who Camest From Above. Thank you. Father, give us grace to answer readily the call of our Saviour Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvellous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and always. Amen.